نستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت. لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان، ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام. اللهم إنك أنت أحق من عبد، وأجود من سئل، وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك، والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بإذنك، ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر، وتعصى فتغفر. الحسنة عندك بعشر أمثالها وقد تزيد، والسيئة عندك بواحدة وقد تغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية. والحلال ما أحللت، والحرام ما حرمت، والدين ما شرعت، والعبد عبدك، والبلد بلدك، والأرض أرضك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة، وأدى الأمانة، ونصح الأمة، وكشف الغمة، وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household and whose followers to the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ إِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٌ مِّنِّي فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Actually this is in Surah Taha. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will send you the children of Adam guidance. Whomsoever takes my guidance and accepts my guidance and doesn't reject it. Accept my guidance means what? What do you mean accept my guidance? Just say, I accept your guidance, Allah? No. Practice my guidance. Obey my guidance. Follow my guidance. Take my words and implement them in real life. The whomsoever does that, he is going to have a happy life in this life and in the hereafter. But whomsoever is going to reject my guidance and try to invent new ways of life that are not in compliance with my guidance, that is are not within the guidelines and the outlines of my guidance, then he is going to live a miserable life in this life. Is that it? No. And in the hereafter, he will be resurrected blind. And then he will question Allah. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Why did you resurrect me physically blind? And in the past life, I had a vision, I had eyes. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا. The answer comes from Allah that I have sent you my guidance in the past life and you have blinded your eye from my guidance by turning away your eyes from my guidance. You blinded your eye by your own will, by your own choice. You blinded your eye and you gave my guidance the blind eye. You gave my guidance the blind eye, therefore your punishment that I will give you the actual blind eye in this hereafter when you are going to be punished. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live our life according to His guidance. And this is why the societies are divided into two kinds of societies from an Islamic perspective. A society that is implements the guidance of Allah. A society that the guidance of Allah is an actual principles that are practiced in the society, that is not just ink, cheap ink on a cheap paper, precious words written with the cheap ink on a cheap paper. No, it's an actual principles that governs the life. And this society is called an Islamic society. And any other society where there is a mismatch between the will of Allah, between the word of Allah, between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and between the real life, if there is a mismatch, any mismatch between what is in here and what's in the out life, this is an outside life in the real life, if there is a mismatch between what is actually practiced and between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, if there is a mismatch or conflict or contradiction, this is called an ignorant society. Ignorant, the word ignorant means in the language means lack of information, lack of data, or lack of knowledge. But Islam comes to put a new meaning for the word ignorance. From an Islamic perspective, the word ignorance means someone who chose other ways of life different than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Allah wants a specific way of life. And this person will say, no, I know better than that. I don't like this way of life. I'll put it aside and I'm going to make up my own way of life. And if in this case, this person is ignorant. Why? Because can you ever come up with a way of life better than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed? There's no way. When you reject, that's the clear misguidance. Perhaps if I disagree with you or you disagree with me, perhaps you are partially right or I am partially right, you're partially wrong, I am partially wrong. But if someone disagrees with Allah, then that person is 100% wrong and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 100% right. You cannot disagree with Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is the guidance, this is the way you should live your life, you cannot suggest. You cannot make changes. You cannot add. You cannot subtract. This is, you have to just say, I listen and I obey. And this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Actually, some people at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought about just making few suggestions on the words of Allah. Few suggestions to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Hujurat, very strong verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. O you who believe, don't you ever suggest anything to Allah. Don't you ever claim that you know better than Allah. Who needs suggestions? Human beings need suggestions, but Allah doesn't need any suggestions. So don't you make suggestions, don't you ever claim that you know better than Allah and His Messenger. And some other people also tried to give examples to Allah, illustrative examples to Allah. So Allah also replied strongly, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ. Don't you ever give Allah illustrative examples. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. For Allah knows and you don't know. Allah knows everything, your ideas. You don't need to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala examples. So these are anyone who disagrees with Allah, disagrees with the guidance of Allah, that is the clear cut of misguidance. This is the clear cut that this person is being misguided, and this is an ignorant person, because he disagreeing with Allah, then he's an ignorant person. Whether this disagreement is verbal disagreement by verbally saying, I reject this Quran, or not verbal disagreement, but an actual disagreement in the practice where that person is verbally saying, yes, I accept the Quran, but in the actual life, this person is living his or her life according to another way of life, different than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, or conflicting and contradicting with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. This is called, this society that does that is called an ignorant society. And there was al-jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic ignorance. And there is also al-jahiliyyah al-mu'asirah, which is modern ignorance. Now, is it true that technology and ignorance can exist? Yes. Even if we have technology, the society can still be ignorant society. Ignorant, non-civilized society. We often confuse technology and civilization. We think that technology means civilization and civilization means technology. And that's wrong. Because technology is something else than civilization. A society can be an ignorant society. A society can be a non-civilized society, even though this society has the highest level of technology. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Quran the words about Qawm Aad. On the tongue of the Prophet Hud, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ هُودٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ. Hud, the Prophet, he went to Aad, and Aad at their time had the highest level of technology in the whole world. They were superpower, and they had all the technology that anybody ever, you know, thought of. And they were very strong. So their Prophet came to them, and he recited these technological abilities that they have. And he said, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ in Surah Al-Shu'ara. You build in every high land a landmark to amuse yourself. You're building a landmark, a big landmark. Why? To show your technology and to show your muscles and to, you know, to show off. أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ. And you're building factories, thinking that these factories will give you the way to the everlasting happy life. You have hopes that this, you have hopes in these factories. And this is a false hope. Because the believers should have only hope in Allah and not having hope in any other thing else. So you're thinking, you're having hope that these factories are going to lead you to the everlasting happy life. وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. And if you attack your enemies and destroy them, you attack them mercilessly, and you kill them and you destroy them mercilessly, and you make them an example to everybody else. وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Fear Allah and follow me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't wait on the people of Aad to be destroyed because of their own sins. Because one of the rules of Allah, that He will leave the people to destroy themselves by themselves because of their deviation from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah did not wait on them, because they were so evil that Allah decided to destroy them Himself by special power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on them a way, a natural force to destroy them and to destroy their homes, even though they had the technology. So, technology is something else. Having cell phones, able to talk to the other side of the world, you know, just like you're talking to your neighbor, having satellites, this is all not civilization. A society can be an ignorant society, even though this society has technology. Then, what is the Islamic society? How can we find out what is the Islamic society? Islam laid down five criteria. Based on these five criteria, we can find out if the society is Islamic or non-Islamic. And there is, even if it's a Muslim society, a Muslim society doesn't mean that's an Islamic society. A Muslim society means the people are Muslims, but the society itself is not Islamic, means that this society, if you look and you compare the values practiced in this society to the values mentioned in this book, which is the book of Allah, you find mismatch. You find mismatch between the two values. Then this society is not called an Islamic society, even though it's a Muslim society that has plenty of Muslims. The first criteria, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of legislation. Who is the source of legislation? Who is the one that writes laws? Now, if you look at the world around us, there is no nation in this world that doesn't have a constitution and doesn't have a law. If I ask you to name one nation that doesn't have a constitution and a law, you will not be able to name any. Every and each nation on the face of the world has a constitution and has a law. There has to be a law that governs the mutual rights and responsibilities between citizens. That tells you where your freedom ends, where the freedom of your neighbor starts. That tells you what is right and what is wrong. What is legal, what is illegal. What are the do's and what are the don'ts. Do, 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 don't, don't. There has to be a law in every society. And this law, there are two choices only for this law. It has to be either a man-made law or a law coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no third choice. Either made by Allah or made by a human being. There is no third alternative. So those who reject the laws made by Allah, they will end up accepting the only other alternative, which is having laws written by themselves. So basically, having laws written by themselves means that part of the society, small minority of part of the society, are legislators. Those legislators write laws, and the rest of the societies are slaves of these laws. We are slaves of the laws, whether we like it or not. Because if we don't follow and obey these laws, we will get in trouble. We will lose our freedom. We will be punished. We will be fined. We will be jailed. There are lots of terrible things that you get in, that you will have. Lots of punishments if you don't follow the law. So you have to follow the law. This law, you are a slave of this law, whether you like it or not. So you are a slave of this law. So if part of the society are gods, small false gods that are writing laws, and the rest of the societies are just slaves who obey these laws, this society is called an ignorant society. But if the source of legislation is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where all members of that society are equal citizens, no one writes laws except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are all equally obedient to these laws, then this society is called an Islamic society. So that is the first criteria. The first criteria is the source of the law. The source of legislation is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is the only one who can write a law that is fair for everyone. Humans, when they write a law, they always customize the law to serve specific people or a specific segment of the society. For example, the capitalism. It's the capitalism law, it is written to serve the people who own the capital, the people who have the money and the wealth. If you go to any other society, if you go to communism, you find that communism laws are written to serve the few gods that are ruling the whole society or the people on the government. Or you go there, here and there, you find that the laws are written to serve a specific segment of the society. Allah is the only one who can write a fair, just law that makes everybody equal. So that is the first criteria. And this is very well outlined in the message of Rabi ibn Amir, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. When he, Kisra, when Rustam, the leader of the Persian army, when Muslims became a superpower, a righteous superpower, and they were trying to reform the world around them, and they were starting with their neighbors. So they started with, they were attacking the Persian Empire, trying to reform the Persian Empire, and free the people in the Persian Empire. So Rustam, the leader of the Persian army, he said to the Abi Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he told him, send me a man that I can talk to, that I can ask him a few questions, because I'm puzzled about a few things. So he sent him Rabi' ibn Amir. Rabi' ibn Amir went in. Of course, you know, he didn't care about all these fancy places and fancy tents and fancy carpets and fancy jewelry. And actually, he destroyed them, and he went inside, and he was destroying them because he had a spear that he flipped back for, so that the head is pointing down, and he was walking like this and punching through these silk carpets that they put to impress him. So basically, he's giving them a message that these carpets doesn't impress me. And then when he went inside, he asked him, you Arabs were, you know, hungry people scattered all over the desert. What suddenly gathered you together and you are attacking my empire? What's wrong? What's going on? He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَنَا. Allah has sent us. So we are employees of Allah. Allah is the employer and we work for Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَنَا. لِنُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ. To free people. مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ. From being slaves to other people. People slaving each other. To عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. To being slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ ظُلْمِ الْأَدْيَانِ. From the injustices of other ways of life. إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. To the justice of Islam. وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا. From the tightness and injustice and darkness of this life. إِلَىٰ سِعَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. To the heaviness and wideness of this life and the hereafter. So he understood his mission as Khalifa of Allah on earth, as deputy of Allah on earth. He understood that his mission is to reform the world and to make the world a better place. Reform of the world means the world is not according to the word of according to the values stated in the book of Allah, and he's changing the reality of the world to match the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was his mission. And then why he said free people from slavery to others? Because people were slaves of each other. Part of the society, legislators write laws, and the other part of the society are slaves of these laws, whether they like it or not. And the second criteria that is used to differentiate between is Islamic society and the non-Islamic society, the basis of unity. Why are we united? Are we united based on nationality? Or are we united based on race and skin color? Or are we united based on the land ownership? All these ways of unity will make a society. These are materialistic bases of unity. We are united on materialism. Or are we united because we all have a rich, comfortable, fulfilling life that we are happy with and we would like our children to inherit it after us? Is that the basis of our unity? What is uniting me and you and the Chinese and the black, the Afro-American and the white and people from all over the world? Common materialistic interests that we are having a rich, comfortable, fulfilling life that we are living and we would like our children to inherit after us. All these kind of bases of unity are ignorant bases of unity and un-Islamic. But the true civilized society that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants is the society where the basis of unity is the principle, the divine principle, which is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are all united over one concept, what is that concept? That we are deputy of Allah on earth. We work for Allah. What is our job? Is to reform the world. What do you mean reform the world? Means take the words of Allah, and instead of being words written on paper, take them and make them real life, real principles. So when we look into the Quran, open any section on the Quran, and we look, and we read and we compare the reality, we find them matching. This is our job as Muslims, is to reform the world and make it the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, real life words, not only words written with cheap ink on a cheap paper. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed wanted this to happen. Allah could have sent angels to implement His word in real life, but Allah doesn't want to do that because that defeats the purpose. Where is the honor of having a free will? And where is the honor of choosing Allah with our free will? The whole purpose of life is defeated if Allah will send angels to execute His word and make them real life. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concept of free will, the concept of the purpose of life, all this concept requires that we stand up and take the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrifice to make them real life. And sacrifice for this sake our time, our money, and our effort, and our blood if it is necessary. This is our job. When we are united over this principle, and when this is the basis of our unity and the basis of our gathering, then this becomes an Islamic society. And will be a society that is colorblind. A society that doesn't make a difference between the white and the black. A society that doesn't make a difference. What language do you speak? What is your skin color? But actually, it is a society where the criteria is based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in His book, which is we all slaves, equal slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He made us into different nations and different races and different tribes, said, so that we recognize His power by recognizing the differences between us. And by looking at that, you can see if the basis of unity are heavenly basis. We are united based on a heavenly principle. A principle coming from heaven, from Allah to us. A principle that we choose with our own free will. A principle that magnifies the honor of the free will, which is choosing the principle of Allah. Then this society is an Islamic society. But when we are united over race, color, nationality, then we are united over materialistic values coming from mud. What is the difference between the Egyptian mud and the Syrian mud and the Pakistani mud and the Iraqi mud? They are all mud. First of all, we don't get to choose our race. Allah is the one who makes that choice. Second, there is all mud. When we are united over a lower value, a mud, united over nationality means united over mud, united over dirt, united. This is all degrading the human being from what Allah wants to elevate us up to be united over heavenly values, religion. And we are looking down when we are want to be united over mud and dirt and nationality and all other materialistic things. So that's the second basis of judging a society. And then the third basis is, what is the highest value of this society? The highest value that controls all other values. The value that has the highest priority, that no one can question. If the highest value in this society, in the society, is our moral values, the moral values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly issued in His book, and not only that, but also most of human beings agree on these main principle human moral values. Don't lie, don't kill, don't, and justice, and all these beautiful moral values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in His book. If these moral values take priority and take control, then this society is an Islamic civilized society. But if the controlling values are materialistic benefits and materialistic interests, then this society is a non-Islamic society. A very famous example on that is the example of Lake Tahoe, where part of Lake Tahoe is in Nevada and the other part is in California. If you go to Nevada, prostitution and gambling is legal. If you go to California, prostitution and gambling is illegal. Why? Because in California, the economy is based on the industry of agriculture and the industry of manufacturing. But in Nevada, the economy is based on the entertainment industry. So because the economy is based on the entertainment industry, they have to make prostitution and gambling legal, so they bring more revenue because it allows them to provide more entertainment. So now, which one controls which one? Materialism and economy is controlling moral values in this case, which is wrong. So in California, because we don't have need for entertainment industry, we declare them as immoral. But in Nevada, we don't. That's a very famous example that shows you the double standards, that who is in control, that materialism and materialistic interest is in control of moral values, not the other way around. In Islam, what is immoral, it is immoral, regardless of time, regardless of place, regardless of economy. What is haram is haram. You change your place, you change time, you change economy, you change circumstances, haram is haram. No changes. And in Islam also, everything is governed by moral values. So what is the Islamic politics? The Islamic politics is the politics governed by moral values, where the decision is made based on moral values, based on justice, equality. You wish for others what you wish for yourself. You wish for others the best, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. Allah orders in justice and kindness. Justice is number one. Kindness is number two. And providing the maintaining good kin relationships, and forbids injustice doing injustice to other, وَيَنْهَى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. And the bad deeds and the injustice and doing fahsha, which is like immoral things. So these are the principles that governs the Islamic economy, that governs the Islamic politics, that governs any form of politics that respects the moral values, where the decision is based on idealism, not based on materialism, based on moral values, not based on materialistic benefits and interests, then this society is an Islamic society. But if the decision is made, as long as if we have alternative A and alternative B, both alternatives respect the moral values, then both of them are fine. Though in Islam we have the freedom of halal, but we don't have the freedom of haram. We have the freedom of righteousness. Path A, path B, or alternative A, alternative B, alternative C. As long as all alternatives are halal, then we have the freedom to choose between them. But as long as one of them is haram, then we don't think about it. So we have the freedom, حُرِّيَّةِ الصَّلَاحِ وَالْإِصْلَاحِ وَلَيْسَ حُرِّيَّةِ الْفَسَادِ وَالْإِفْسَادِ. We have the freedom of being righteous people, and we have the freedom of doing righteous things and reforming things. But we don't have the freedom of being corrupted people or corrupting things. This kind of freedom is not permissible. So it's a bounded freedom. So within that freedom, so what is the governing rule and the governing main line are moral values. When the decision, Islamic economy, basically any form of economy that respects moral values is acceptable in Islam. As long as riba, usury, which is taking advantage of the poor people, is haram, is respected. As long as, you know, monopoly is haram. As long as all these Islamic rules, moral values are respected, then any other form of economy is accepted. Freedom. You have freedom of choosing any other way as long as you are within these moral values. But when you throw the wheat and the crops in the ocean, and instead of giving them to the poor people, why? Because you want to keep the price high. These kind of thinking, it means that there are two ways to make decisions. Idealism and moral values or materialism. And that tells me that the decision here is based on materialism. It's based on profit. And this is practiced all over the place. Even if you go to the Kmart, they make a chicken, and at 9 o'clock they take all the chicken and throw it away. And then when you ask them, why don't you just sell it for a reduced price, they say no. We don't sell it for either pay full price, we don't want to accept any reduced price. Either take it for full price or we will throw it away. So you ask them, why don't you have a charity outlet where you give this chicken that is not eaten to the poor and needy, and instead of throwing them away, they say no. You either buy them at regular price, or if you don't, 9 o'clock, we throw them away. Same kind of mentality, where materialism is the governing criteria, not moral values and idealism. And the people who run their life and give priority, materialistic people who run their life and make decisions according to materialism, they don't tell you that we follow materialism. They play with the words, you know, playing games with the words to give it. If they say we are materialistic people, we follow materialism, then they will be despised because the name materialism is ugly. But they use a different name. They say we follow realism. We are realistic people, but you are idealistic people. You follow dreams and imaginations. You are not realistic. We are realistic people. And realism requires materialism. And because materialism is the highest value, we are realistic people. And that's how they call themselves. We are realistic, not idealistic. But actually, they are not realistic. They are materialistic. Because moral values, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. The highest value of the society to be the moral values. And then the fourth criteria that based is the criteria of the building unity of the society. What is the unit of the society? Is the unit of the society based on families? A man marrying a woman and they have legitimate children? Is this is the basis of the children who are coming, the new generation that is coming in this society are coming from a healthy family? Or this generation, new generation that is coming in this society is coming from outside of marriage? And the family relationship is broken. This is a very important criteria. In Islam, there are two. Islam realizes that the job of the woman is much more honorable than the job of the man. Because the job of the woman is to build a human being. To build a human being who is a reformer, who is an obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the most honorable job. But the job of the man is probably to build a bridge, or to build a building, or to build a tuna can, or a Pepsi can, or whatever, to build something materialistic that has much less value than a human being. So if the society prefers that this woman becomes, leaving her job, her honorable job of building a human being, and leaving this job and going out to compete with men into building materialism and building bridges and building tuna cans and building roads, then this society is an ignorant society. But the society that has restrict the sexual relationship within marriage, and there are no relationship outside of marriage, and all the new generation are coming from legitimate marriage, then this society is a civilized society. If we just compare the statistics that come, you know, these statistics came about 4 months ago, that 1/3 of the children of in Indiana are coming from outside of marriage. And the other statistics is that 60% of the people who go on a new date for the first time, they go to bed in the first date. So they are still strangers, and for the first date, they go to bed on the first date. Of course, these are all signs of deviation, signs of ignorance, signs of deviation from the words of Allah and the guidance of Allah and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the basis of moral values. If the basis of moral values, why aren't we lying? Why aren't we cheating? Why? If we are not lying and we are not cheating and we are not doing injustice to each other because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because we have a very strong desire to go to heaven and because we have a strong fear from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this society is a civilized society. But if we are not cheating and we are not lying and we are very prompt in our, you know, appointments and we are very honest in our dealings because we are afraid of poverty and weakness, because corruption leads to poverty and weakness, and we want to be rich and strong. So the basis of us following the moral values is because we want to be rich and strong, and we want to be dominating, and we want to be a superpower, or we want to be the best nation. If the basis of our moral values is based on this reason, then this society is an ignorant society. But if the basis of the moral values is first to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go to Jannah, and this is the motive behind us being good people, and then second, to be decent people and to be strong and to be rich, but this comes second after the first reason, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to enter Jannah and to avoid His punishment, then this society is an Islamic society. So these are the criteria how Islam defines the societies between Islamic societies and ignorant societies, and this is how Islam, this is the Islamic criteria. And based on this criteria, you can see that none of the societies that exist today can be classified as Islamic societies. The most criteria that matters the most really in any society when you look is the justice. Justice in the distribution of wealth and justice in the distribution of power. This is really the key criteria. If this criteria is violated, pretty much this society is non-Islamic society. But if there is justice in the distribution of money and power and opportunities among citizens, so opportunities are available to all citizens equally, regardless of race, regardless of power, regardless, because normally people who own the power own the wealth, and the rest are slaves. This life is nothing but power and wealth. If few individuals own all the power and wealth, then the rest of the people are slaves to those few individuals. And this justice is the key word where you can look in any society. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah orders justice. This justice is the key word to judge between societies and to tell which society is more Islamic than the others. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity but Him, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. We look at the condition of the world today, we find injustices everywhere. Few are rich, living in obscene luxury, while the majority are starving. We find few people happy and the rest of the people are not. Few individuals are consuming over 60% of the world resources, energy and wood and other materials, and the rest of the people are starving to death. We find injustices everywhere. We find dictatorship everywhere, whether it's an obvious dictatorship, that like the example that we have in our country, or hidden dictatorship where you don't have a true alternative. Like in the past elections, what alternative did we have? We had to choose between either Kerry or Bush. Well, they are two faces for the same coin. It's like, for example, president, one of those president is saying, you have to choose between two of my children, child A or a child B. There are no democracy, true democracy. To the naked, ignorant eye, it's a democracy because there is an election. But to the knowledgeable eye, this is no democracy because you're choosing between two alternatives that are basically the same. Same thing here. There were no real differences between both candidates. So it's a kind of dictatorship where on paper it says democracy, but actually there is no real alternative. We could not find a candidate which was not for sale. We could not find a candidate which was, because any candidate which is not for sale is filtered through the system. Every candidate has to please the corporate media, has to please the corporate America interest, has to please the special interest, very powerful lobbies in Washington, D.C. before he can be a candidate. So we had basically two choices, A and B. Both of them are for the same, two faces for the same coin. There was no real alternative for us. So this kind of dictatorship, and it's more dangerous than the obvious dictatorship because many people who have naked, ignorant eye, they don't see it very well. So what is the solution then? What is the solution of the problems of the world from an Islamic perspective? The solution of the problems of the world is simple. Is a righteous superpower that polices the world, polices the moral values, protects weak nations from strong nations. A righteous superpower is the solution of the world today. And this is the solution that was established during the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. If I give you an example, the police here in Evansville, can we live without the police? The police here, the role of the police, you can think of the police here in Evansville as a righteous superpower that is preventing us from attacking each other, that is protecting your property, preventing me from taking your property, and preventing you from taking my property. And if we fight together, it separates us, and enforcing the law and putting law and order. So the police is an example of a righteous superpower that sets things straight. So this police is policing Evansville. The only solution is a righteous superpower to police the world, to make sure that the strong is not eating the weak, to make sure that all citizens of the world are treated equally, and they have equal rights, and there is no double standards. A righteous superpower, just like Rabi'i ibn Amir, when he said, "Inna Allah ta'atana, Allah have sent us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us a superpower, a righteous superpower, and he sent us to fight for his sake. Inna Allah ta'atana, linukhrij al-ibad, to free the people from the slavery of one, to one another, to slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And what do we get as a reward? We get as a reward, Jannah. This is our reward that we are expected. We are a righteous superpower. Our job is to reform the world. Our job is to bring the justice that Allah has ordained in this book, make it a real life. Where you look, you see justice outside, and you see justice inside. You see justice on paper, and you see justice in reality. So the words of Allah are true words. This is our job. And to free people from the injustices of other ways of life, because any other way of life other than Islam has to be unfair, has to be unjust. We don't know better than Allah. This is, if we disagree with Allah, then we're wrong. If we disagree with this Quran, then we're wrong. Because this is the only way to have a righteous life and a happy life. And this is the only way that everyone gets his justice or her justice. It is according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed. So this is the only solution of the problems of the world today. Now, how is that related to you and me? We, every one of us, has a circle of influence. This circle of influence is either big or small, depends on each individual. Every one of us is required, as deputy, as khalifa of Allah on earth, to take the guidance of Allah from being words on paper and implement them as a reality. First of all, in himself, and second, in his family. See, the circle is expanding. Self, family, and then the circle expands more, community, and then nation, and then the whole world, as much as we can go, as much as we can expand, to be part of the solution. Can we fix the problems of the world today as individuals? No, and Allah knows that. But Allah will judge us whether you are part of the solution or part of the problem. And our part to be part of the solution is to reform ourselves first. So when we look at our own reality, inside our hearts, and our behavior, all compliance with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are making the word of Allah real life in our own personal life. And then we expand to our family, and we expand then our community, and we keep expanding until we run out of energy and run out of ability. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, which means that كُلُّ مَا فِي وُسْعِكَ أَنْتَ مُكَلَّفْ بِهِ. كل ما في وسعك أنت مكلف به means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't obligate the human soul to do, doesn't judge the human soul for not doing anything beyond its ability, beyond its circle of influence. Which means that anything within your circle of influence, anything within your ability, you are judged by it. And this wealth that Allah has given us could be our way to Jannah or could be our way to hellfire. If Allah, by giving us wealth, our ability increases and our power increases. If we are poor, then we are less powerful. If we are rich, then we are more powerful. Now, how do we use this wealth? If we use this wealth, which is the extra power that Allah has given us, to serve Allah and to in the way that Allah wants us to use, then this wealth becomes our way to Jannah. If we employ it in the service of Allah. But if we use this wealth to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to commit disobediences and to cross His boundaries, then this wealth is going to be our way to hellfire. And we get to choose, how do we use our wealth? How do we use our time? We have the honor of free will that Allah has honored us with. But we will be honorable only if we choose to use our resources according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and has ordained. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين. اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك الحنيف ردا جميلا. اللهم عليك بمن عاد الإسلام وحارب المسلمين. اللهم كن عليهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم كن في عون إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم، والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم وخذلوهم، فليس لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم تقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء، وفك أسراهم يا أرحم الراحمين، وادفع عن أحيائهم البلاء يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه أولا ثم ثنى